And at the end of that second look, we're going to have the meeting after the meeting. Remember, the plan is just the presentation. When they show the plan, that's not the meeting. That's the presentation. The meeting begins when the marker's put down after the presentation. That's when we address how this business can fit into their life. That's when we meet with them to answer their questions and show them how they could do a trial run and how they could be successful. So at the end of the trial run meeting, or the end of the second look, or the end of any presentation of the plan, we always ask them one question. What did you like most? Don't ask them what they thought. They haven't thought in 30 years. They don't know what to think. They're confused. Ask them what did they like the most, because everybody has a hot button, and there's something in this program for everybody. So the best close is, after we've asked them what they like most, is to do a trial run. Once we do the trial run, my only close is, who's going to sponsor these people, you or me? Because I've been showing the plan for them to get some people to evaluate it and do trial runs and to get started. Now that they have some people that are interested, rather than struggling over a decision just to get them in, it's already worked and there's nothing to decide. So then all we do is repeat the process. With each one of those people that they've led to, we do a trial run. We teach them video recruiting and tape recruiting so that they're circulating several videos and cassette tapes. And then we do some trial run meetings, and we adjust it just like we did for you or the first person that was sponsored. We adjust it to their level of comfort so that they do lead to some people. And then they, in turn, bring two people to each second look. And what we're really doing in this process is we're priming the pump. You see, this is an incredible business that can bring you an incredible amount of income. But we have to put something into it before we get something out. And it reminds me of a childhood experience that I've never forgotten. I was in the Boy Scouts, and we were out on a 5 or 10 mile hike, and it was in the middle of August, extremely hot and humid, and somehow when we got to the end of the hike, the parents weren't there to pick us up, and we were kind of stranded out in nowhere, and we were very, very thirsty, and the scoutmaster was concerned that we were going to get heat stroke or whatever, and we started looking for some water, and he saw an old farmhouse, and he said, let's go out behind that old farmhouse. There's probably an old pitcher pump there, and sure enough, there was, and he had me start to pump that pump, and boy, I was pumping and pumping, and sweat was pouring off my forehead, and my shirt was getting soaked with perspiration. And he said, man, I can hear it down there. This is an artesian well. That water's going to be sweet and cold, but it's way down there. We're going to have to prime this pump. But don't stop pumping, JR, or you'll lose it. You'll lose the prime that we're developing. Okay, that water's about halfway up. So he sent a kid down with the bucket off the pump to the pond, and he filled the bucket with water, came back up, and he poured it in the pump as I pumped, and all of a sudden, goosh, out went the water. Now, you see, the point is that you have to prime the pump. You have to put something in before you're going to get something out. And the scoutmaster then said, now we can have as much water as we want, because you don't have to pump as hard. You just have to keep a little pressure on it, and we can take turns because the pump is primed. And that's what we're doing in the business. We fill the bean jar, yeah, to get the people the possibilities. We shake it up and start recruiting. But then in the sponsoring process, we have to prime the pump by doing the trial runs and leading to the people for them that turn them into a hopeless success. Now, the thing that's going to make you more effective at the whole prospecting, recruiting, sponsoring process than anything is learning how to show the plan, because now you're empowered to sit down and talk to people about it. And when you understand the plan and people ask questions, you can answer their questions. You can explain things to them, and you're not handcuffed. You don't need to rely on a sponsor or upline or getting a meeting date and then inviting people to the meeting, and that's the only night they can come. You can go around and visit people. You can sit around the kitchen table. You can draw it out on a napkin. And after people have seen the plan at a presentation, you can follow up and review it with them. So everybody's first goal in this process of becoming a real professional should be to learn how to show the plan. It's really one of the big keys to success. The person that holds the marker makes the money. The person that holds the pen and can show the plan makes the money. Now think about the functions in this business that we must learn to be successful. The process that someone goes through in developing a successful unfranchise, which leads to a residual stream of income that comes in week after week, month after month, year after year. They first start out by retailing a little product, which is crucially important because we have to be a product of the product and we need a retail coefficient. Then we begin to duplicate those sales and that volume by recruiting other unfranchised owners. But the next thing that we have to do after we learn how to prospect, recruit, and sponsor is we have to learn how to show the plan, because now they're going to rely on you to do the same thing that your upline did, and we have to be able to answer people's questions. So it's the next step in the evolution of a successful unfranchise owner. We have to learn how to show the plan. Then we learn how to train people so that we can retain them, and we teach them how to do the same things. And it's all a process of duplication. Think about it. This whole business, the key to this whole business is duplication. So we want to be able to pass the story on, and the more people that we can have that can pass the story on, show the plan, to introduce the business to people in the recruiting process, as well as follow up, the more duplication we have. Now, the reverse of this is reverse duplication, where only one person upline can show the plan. And see, that's when things plateau out. That's when things become stagnant. And that's when, if you're the one showing the plan and everybody's relying on you, that's when you short circuit and you're setting yourself up for failure. It's nice one night to sit back and think, geez, I'm home, but there's 10 presentations going on tonight, 10 people out showing the plan. That's when you know that you've started the duplication process and are on the road to tremendous success. But in showing the plan, we all want to learn how to show it right. We all show it the same way, so that all across the country, even though you may have started out in your own little hometown showing the plan, you want it to be the same presentation at every opportunity meeting or second look in the country. And we expand nationwide then with confidence. And as your people know people in other towns who know people in other towns, you can have people attending meetings or seeing the plan all across the country. And just like McDonald's, they get the same thing, fundamentally the same thing, anywhere they go. So it's very important that we duplicate perfectly. Because when we have the same plan duplicated in the unfranchised system all across the country, it eliminates confusion. It creates standardization and uniformity. It makes the plan easier to learn, and everybody can have confidence that their prospects or their new distributors are getting the same thing anywhere in the country that they would be getting if you showed the plan yourself or if your upline showed the plan. So it's like McDonald's or a franchise, the same everywhere you go to second looks in the NMTSS. And it's the same presentation and format, the same script. The 45-year plan versus a 2 to 3 year plan is the focal point, which is critical to launching the trial run and the ABC pattern. It's the same room setup with product displays, posters, sign-in table. All the meeting mechanics are the same. And it comes down to standardization and uniformity equal duplication, which is the key to the business, and it eliminates confusion. And so all across the country in that NMTSS manual, which is both online and in print, you can look at meetings and you know that all those meetings are the same. So what are some of the duplication sources for the presentation? You know, every documented format or tool for showing the plan is a reflection of all the other tools. They're all basically the same. You have the CD PowerPoint that you can use to walk through and learn how to show the plan. It actually has video clip of Lauren, myself, Dennis, and Marty showing the plan or doing the presentation. It's also one with just a voiceover that you can learn it. It advances the slide. You can override that and actually advance it yourself, turn the volume off, and use it for your own presentations. There's videos. It's about success. There's a flip chart. The one-to-one presentation basically follows the same format as on the CD, ROM, and video. There's a corporate brochure. There's a Take at the Top video, which is a training video where I show how to do it. There's a career manual. There's live second looks. And by doing the ABC pattern with your upline team, you learn how to show the plan and actually will be put in a position where they help you show part of the plan by the C level, and by the A1 level, you'll be ready to actually show it. So the whole script is in the 6th edition of the career manual, and you just follow the script. It's part 1, chapter 3, pages 8 to 21. The second look is outlined then on part 2, chapter 18, section 2, pages 3 to 5. Read it several times. Put it on note cards and practice it over and over and over again. and then you will know the presentation. And if you do that, when somebody else is showing it, you can kind of follow the format along with them. You see, 90% of showing the plan is understanding the logic. And understand that this presentation is a tried, tested, proven method. Everything that we say is there for a reason. So don't try to invent the wheel. Don't reinvent the light bulb. Just use it. Just turn it on. Okay? And you're going to get to the point where you're successful much quicker. And understand that there's a psychology of the plan. It's what I call non-manipulative selling. Everything's in there for a reason. All we want to do is get their light bulb to go on. We want to get them to see the light. So everything that I'm saying, everything that we're doing in that plan has been put in there for a reason, and it's what I call non-manipulative selling. And what I mean by that is we give them all the information, all the reasons why it'll work, all the logic. So we give them an overview. Then they choose a 2 to 3 year plan versus a 45-year plan to be able to determine whether it's worth going on. Why listen to all this if you want the 45-year plan, or if you can't acknowledge that you can't get everything out of life that you want in the 45-year plan, and that the 2 to 3 year plan would be a tremendous value to you? Then we give you all the information to support the 2 to 3 year plan. Then we explain why it works. We eliminate all the objections. We eliminate the fears. We anticipate their questions and answer them in the plan. So when it's all said and done, I've gotten them to agree with every layer and every step that I've taken by asking them over and over again, isn't that right? Don't you agree with this? So when we get down to the point and I'm done, there's really nothing to decide. It's called non-manipulative selling because I've given them all the information, answered all their questions, eliminated all their objections, and when it comes right down to the point, there's nothing to sell, nothing to persuade them of, nothing to convince them of. They've already agreed with everything. It's really just a question of, do they want to do it or not? Do they want to try? There's nothing to decide. They decided in the beginning with the 2 to 3 year planner, I want to go through the plan. It's simply a choice of trying it or not. So I think it's important to understand that you don't have to be a great salesman to show the plan. Really, all we're doing is educating or informing people, and there's really nothing to decide at the end. The most important star in the achievement pen system, I believe, is on the second bar of the NMTSS, the NMTSS meeting system bar, and that's when they can actually show the plan. You know, the first star represents that you're presenting the Unfranchised Business Development System, MPCP, at home kickoffs and second look meetings. I mean, that's like graduating from college or at least high school, and it warrants a celebration. For every person in your downline that is able to show the plan, or each person at least that you sponsor that reaches the point where they earn that star and can show the plan, they've reached a major milestone in the business and certainly should be congratulated, and you should take them out to dinner or to lunch or something and recognize them and celebrate. My God, you got another person that can go out and duplicate and show the plan. And if you're new, it certainly should be your first major goal, and it is a tremendous accomplishment. So how do you learn to show the plan then? What do we do? Well, there's several different methodologies that we use to learn to show the plan. First, you want to attend every second look, because by seeing it over and over and over again, you're going to begin to not only understand it, but you're going to be starting to remember it. So when you're watching second looks and you've been to several, have the thing down on note cards and kind of start to anticipate the next step and think while that plan's going on. Why do they say that? Because there's a reason for everything that we say. And when you understand the logic behind the plan, then naturally the next step is easy to remember. You want to be on the ABC pattern team. By the C level, if you go into all the meetings on the team and are helping with the meetings, you'll have seen the plan 8 times by the C level. Then help show parts of the plan in the ABC pattern meetings with your upline team. By the second or third level, you should be able to do the introduction or the 2 to 3 year plan or the products. And then you can help out with the actual plan. And when your team is there, it doesn't matter if somebody gets everything perfectly right. Anything that somebody misses, somebody else or the upline will fill in. Most importantly, write the plan down on note cards or a foldover sheet, which we teach in the actual How to Show the Plan workshop. But write it down on note cards. Remember something. I showed Dennis Franks the plan off of a piece of paper, copying off of a piece of paper. And when they see you copying off of notes or using notes, they look at you and they don't give you as hard of a time. And they look at you and they don't say, man, that's something I could never do. You did that great. They look at you and say, I could do this too. Draw the plan out for yourself, copying off your note cards several times. Then follow up with prospects that have already been shown the plan at your kickoffs or second looks using the flip chart to review. And think about it. If you're doing this just by working the ABC pattern with your team, by the time you're down to the C level, you've seen the plan at least 7 times and have been at least 2 second looks. So you've seen it 8 or 9 times. Then you want to practice on your spouse, your significant other, your partner, or your upline. Practice showing the plan and drawing it out. It's the most important thing that you can learn other than the answer to what is it and how to speak fluent market America. Practice on relatives. You know, you may end up sponsoring them by accident because they think they can do it better than you. I'd always go over and say, hey, Tom, I have an opportunity to become a manager with this new company. I need to learn the presentation. Do you mind if I practice it on you? And when I practice it on him, he has a tendency to ask questions or try to interrupt. I say, hey, don't interrupt me. You'll mess me up. Then at the end of it, I ask him, hey, how did I do? Naturally, he says, that wasn't very good or that stunk. Oh, please, can't you come with me to this second look meeting on Wednesday where the chief honcho is going to be showing it so you can show me what I did wrong? So he goes and he sees it. He gets interested. He thinks he can do it better than me, and he ends up getting in. Isn't that ironic? But if you go and try to sponsor them, they give you a hard time. So go and practice on them. By the way, that's a good one. And then one-on-ones on a notepad or a flip chart. Just sit down with some of your prospects and draw out that plan one-on-one using your note cards or your fold-over presentation. Then show it every day until you're good. Just do it over and over and over and over, either showing it to people that have already seen it as a follow-up, showing it to your spouse, showing it to your upline, showing it to yourself, or showing it to new prospects for yourself. And don't worry about being perfect. It's just not important. They've never seen it before anyway. They don't know what perfect is. They don't know what right is, and they don't know if you left anything out. They don't know when you make a mistake or forget something. And no one understands it the first time anyway. So confusion is good. If you get them to choose a 2 to 3 year plan, and by the end of the presentation they're confused, that's wonderful. Simply get them to the second look. Take them to your leader. You're a success if you got them to the second look. Now, remember something. Always remember this. We have a fabulously successful company. I started out showing the plan the same way you did. I showed the plan to Dennis Franks and the uplines of Bowlings, of Kanata and Weber and Hannon from notes on a notepad. And those are the 4 legs that got the company off the ground and ended up making it a multi-million-dollar successful enterprise. And they didn't look at me and say, oh, this is no good because he doesn't have it memorized and isn't real slick. They looked at me and said, geez, I can do this and this makes sense because they saw me drawing it off note cards or a fold-over presentation. They said, I can do it too. The most important thing that you can commit to do if you want to learn how to show the plan, and if you want to master the basic 5, you want to learn how to show the plan. Remember, the difference between success and failure is so simple. The individual who succeeds simply does what the individual who failed didn't do. And this is your staircase to making 6 figures and to having financial freedom. And if you really want that 2 to 3 year plan, then you should want to learn how to show the plan. This is the most important thing you can do. So book yourself in to an NMTSS How to Show the Plan workshop. They're done at local seminars, but they also can be done by your upline in your own home. Or ask your upline who's having one and go to one. Now, if you're pretty proficient at the business and you've reached some pen levels and are making money, you should be conducting How to Show the Plan workshops in your own new budding, blossoming organizations. Why? Real simple. The more people you have that are showing the plan, the more growth you're going to have, the more successful you're going to be, and it comes down to duplication. We want to be able to duplicate showing the plan. And if you don't duplicate showing the plan, you're going to have to show it to everybody and you run out of time and pretty soon you become frustrated and start short-circuiting. The key to the business is duplication and being able to prospect, recruit, and sponsor and then show the plan is the key to duplicating unfranchises. The final component of the Basic 5 is follow-up and the ABC pattern of building depth. Without a doubt, this is a component of the Basic 5 that most people are weakest on, and it's the least understood. Now, I can't say that one component of the Basic 5 is any more important than any other component of the Basic 5 because all 5 must be in place, and you must be doing all 5 at the same time in order for your Market America engine to be running efficiently. But the interesting thing about the ABC pattern and the follow-up technique is that it gives you control over your success, growth, progress, and timing. It takes the chance out of building the business. You see, I believe that most people that join Market America have one thing in common. They all have an entrepreneurial streak up their spine. They want to do their own thing. They want to be the master of their own fate. They want more than just a job. They don't want life to pass them by. They have dreams. But you see, the other side of the entrepreneurial personality is that they're very control-oriented. They're control mongers. They have to be able to control their situation. And if they don't feel like they have any control over something, it's difficult for them to totally commit to it and jump in with both feet. They kind of hold back. They can't go full time. And quite often, people feel like they don't have total control over when it's going to happen, when they're going to be successful. They don't feel like they have total control over the timing of their income because, to some degree, it's dependent on other people's success. It's dependent on other people's timing. Now, the beautiful thing about the follow-up technique and the ABC pattern is it gives you control over that timing. You can determine when it's going to happen because it's not left up to chance. It's not dependent on anybody else. Oh, yes, we're going to work with other people, but you're controlling the progress in the business. You're controlling what's happening because it's about you and not about them. They're just the person that you're working through. They're just the material that you're working with. They become the benefactor of your work. You see, without the ABC pattern, you really don't have control over the duplication process and the development of the group because you put somebody in the business and then they have to duplicate what it takes to be successful. You're depending on them to duplicate the basic five and them to make it happen. Therefore, your success becomes dependent on their success, and your timing becomes dependent on your timing. And for years, I looked for a technique or a methodology that would allow me to have control over that timing. So the ABC pattern and the follow-up technique was developed over years of trial and error, and it's been reduced down to fundamentally a science. You see, you can guarantee your success because you control your growth, because you control what's happening. And in 2 years, you'll have 2 to 4 secure legs and be earning $109,000 to $327,000 a year if you learn and perfect this technique. And one of the most interesting things about the ABC pattern is that it automatically duplicates the basic five with the people that you're working with. So when you take somebody on, if you learn the follow-up technique and the ABC pattern, you end up sponsoring what I call hopeless successes. Now, I call it hopeless successes because if they're coachable and they're cooperative, automatically they end up succeeding in spite of themselves. It's really not up to them, and you're really not leaving anything up to chance. So let me begin with the 10 golden rules of follow-up that need to be mastered in order to successfully follow up and to implement the ABC pattern. First of all, you have to understand that the 2-3 versus 45-year plan is the key to following up, that I've actually closed them in the beginning of the meeting rather than the end of the meeting. So now at the end of the meeting, it's not about making a decision. They already made their decision. They chose a 2-3 year plan. So at the end, there's no decision to make except doing a trial run. It's really simply a question, will it work for them? And are they the right person for us? Number one, never show the plan or hold a meeting or bring someone to a meeting without booking a follow-up. The whole purpose of showing the plan is to book the follow-up because they're not going to understand the plan the first time. Similarly, when we introduce somebody with a product, we're setting ourselves up for failure if we don't follow through and make sure that they're using that product correctly and understand it and are enjoying it. So we never share the plan, we never hold a meeting, or we never bring someone to a meeting without booking a follow-up. In fact, if I have someone that wants to see the plan, or one of my people have someone that sees the plan, or I have a prospect, I won't book that meeting to show them the plan unless I know that I have an available date to book the follow-up. because there's no purpose in showing the plan if I can't follow up. In fact, I'm setting in motion something that'll carry emotion and result in failure. First of all, no one fully understands a plan the first time that they see it. Generally, it takes three times before the light bulbs start going off and they really begin to comprehend it. And secondly, they actually really understand it and come to believe in it by seeing it work, which means me working with them. So it's kind of like the dating process. From each date, you need to book another date and build a relationship. And as someone becomes more and more comfortable, the relationship starts to grow. And people grow into relationship. And they really grow into the business. Most of everything that someone needs to learn in this business, they're going to learn on the job. Think about your last job. When you took that job, you didn't know everything that you're going to have to do a year from now or 6 months from now or 2 years from now. But you knew a couple things. One, you wanted the job. And two, if they would teach you what to do and work with you, you would learn what to do. So you learned most everything on the job. And it's going to be the same thing here. We'll learn most everything by building the business. So there's no use showing somebody the plan and then expecting them to go on out and do it. You're leaving an awful lot up to chance. Now, sometimes people call me up and say, hey, I had a fabulous meeting last night. I said, what do you mean? Said, oh, man, there was 15 people there, and we really whipped it on them, and we did an unbelievable presentation. And I said, well, how many follow-ups did you get? He said, well, none. Everybody had to leave, and we told them we'd get back to them. And I can't help but respond, well, I hate to tell you this, but you really failed. Because, you see, even if you do get back to those people, and generally people don't get back to people. They don't get back to you. You have to chase them down and you play phone tag and days or weeks go by. If nothing else, you set yourself back several weeks and you greatly increase the probability that something will go wrong. They'll talk to somebody. Somebody will rain on their parade or they get sidetracked. You see? So if you want to increase your efficiency in the basic five under the ABC pattern of follow-up, we always book a follow-up from the presentation. Then I have somebody else call me up in desperation. Oh, JR, I had a terrible meeting last night. I can't believe what happened. It was an absolute catastrophe. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, man, we had 15 new people there, and I got up to show the plan, and I got my note cards out of order, and I forgot to go over the qualifying step, and nobody understood it, and people started interrupting, and I turned around, the marker board fell over, and then the product display fell down, and everybody was interrupting and arguing, and I said, my God, did you get any follow-ups? He said, yeah, we had to follow up with everybody. We set up another meeting because everybody was so confused, and we got to follow up with each and every one of them. I said, you're a resounding success, you see, because that's the only thing that counts. That's the total objective of the meeting. We bring somebody into the business and we sponsor them by booking meeting after meeting after meeting, and it's follow-up, follow-up, follow-up. It's not dissimilar to the romantic dating process. You meet someone, you have a casual date, then you book a follow-up date, and then you book a follow-up date. And all along, the comfort level's increasing, and they're growing into it until they fall in love. Well, it's similar in the business. Someone falls in love with the business, they come to believe and respect you, and they see success, and they like it. And that's what causes people to become hopeless successes, and that's what sponsors someone. So the second golden rule is that we have to have a calendar or schedule book, and we open it at the end of the meeting. You see, this creates a natural bridge to the next step. At the end of the meeting really begins, because the meeting, which most people call the presentation of the plan, the meeting, is really the presentation. And the meeting begins when the presentation is over, and our total objective is to book the follow-up, because they need more information. They have all types of questions going through their mind. They need more information. There's no real decision to make. We have to show them how to do a trial run. So we either need to get back with them to clear some things up and show them how to have a trial run and how to do the evaluation method, or we need to get back with them and get some people together to run it up the flagpole and begin the trial run process. And we do that by booking a follow-up, booking a meeting in our calendar. Now, instead of people going to the bathroom and starting to gossip or talk about current events or small talk, it focuses things on our objective, which is to book the follow-up. So by opening our calendars, we're immediately going from the close of the meeting to booking the follow-up. It sets the atmosphere. It sets the forum for booking a follow-up. And I make sure that everybody that I'm working with has a little calendar, day timer, electronic schedule book. And I walk around and tell them to open up their schedule books. Now, if you have a empty calendar, you're out of business. You're not really in business. In fact, I used to fill in little things when I first started in my calendar, like, you know, to take the dog out, feed the cat, get milk, wash the car, just to look like I was busy. And then I'd say the only days I got open are Wednesday and Thursday. But everybody in your organization has to have a calendar. And I walk around and tell them to open up their calendars, and I help them book the follow-up, and it gives you a lot more control over the process at the end, and it keeps things in focus. In fact, I'm so disciplined about this, it's almost funny. It's almost like a military drill at the end of the presentation. When I put the marker down, you can hear the schedule books flop open across the room because everybody's been trained that the very next thing we do at the end of the presentation is open the schedule book to focus everybody on booking the follow-up. The third golden rule is anytime we make a call, anytime we give out a packet, anytime we give out a product, we schedule a follow-up call right then. Don't say, I'll get back to you. People don't get back to you. And even if they are going to get back to you, you got to play phone tag and you set yourself back at least a couple weeks. Number four, at the end of the meeting, it's your responsibility to turn and close and set up the follow-up. Everybody has a role to play. It's kind of like Phantom of the Opera or some Broadway play. Every single person in that room that's in the business is a character or an actor and has a role to play in the performance. Really, we're conducting mental surgery here on people. And you have a responsibility at the end of the meeting not to go to the bathroom, not to be talking to your friends that are already in the business, and not to be out in the hallway, but to turn to those prospects and help close them, help set up the follow-up. And if you don't have anyone there personally, you should be helping your downline. And if you don't have anyone in your downline there, be available to help other people, because that's going to create an atmosphere of reciprocity where when they don't have somebody new there and they're at the meeting, they're going to help you follow up with your person. In fact, everybody should be interacting, because the more people that they meet that help focus them on the next step, the more credibility it has and the higher the probability is that that person is going to leave with a warm, fuzzy feeling with a follow-up book. The fifth golden rule is never say, what do you think? You know, it amazes me what a powerful plan so many people put on. They show people how to totally change their life. They eliminate all the excuses and all the doubt. And they show them how they can get what they want out of life. And they're on the edge of the seat. They're very, very interested. And at the end of the meeting then, you turn to them and say, what do you think? Why would you say that? They don't know what to think. Many people haven't thought in 30 years. The fact of the matter is they're somewhat confused. This whole thing is a little mind-boggling. So what we need to do is train ourselves and train our people to ask a leading question that's going to get the result that we want. And I've earned the right to be assumptive, to assume that they want to take the next step because they made their decision in the beginning. They chose a 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan. And there's really nothing to decide that night because they really don't understand it. The real question is, do they want that 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan? And if they do, we need to get back together to answer their questions, to get them more information, and to show them how to do a trial run or how we can make that 2 to 3 year plan happen for them. So I teach people to turn to them and say, what did you like most about the business? And it doesn't matter what they say. We're going to be able to lead them to the next step. If it's a question or a concern, we can still get the follow-up. Or another question, if somebody seems to be even more interested, is what would prevent you from getting started right now or giving it a trial run? Or you need more information and we need to get your questions answered. So when can I get together with you, Wednesday afternoon or Thursday night? And see, that's basically a tie down, giving them a choice of two things that you want. Everybody should learn this with their significant other or their spouse. Don't say, hey, honey, when can you take me out to dinner? You might get the wrong answer. Say, honey, when would you like to go out to dinner? When would you like to take me out to dinner, Friday night or Saturday night? Either answer is correct, right? Or another response or question might be, you seem to be picking this up faster than the average person. When can we get together so that I can show you how to earn that $109,000 a year, that $300,000 per year? So do you see how I'm not leaving anything up to chance, and I'm building a very natural bridge to the next step, and I have total control over everything that's happening? Number six, the objective of a meeting and follow-up is to get them to introduce the business to some prospects and customers. Remember, my only purpose of showing the plan or working with someone is not to get them in, is not to sign them up, but to get them to lead to the right person. Not everyone is ready for this, and not everyone's right for it, but everyone that knows two people who are. And my objective is to get them to lead me to the right people. So the whole objective of the follow-up then is to get them to introduce the business to some prospects and customers. If anything's going to prove to them that it's going to work, it's me being able to talk to those people and develop some interest. So the objective is to do some two-on-ones or small meetings. Small meetings in their homes, or go and see some people with them. It's not to sign them up and to get a check. I mean, you have to understand that it's not about making them make a decision and buy some product and pay $69.95 for the subscription kit. That'll come later. That's not what's important right now. I mean, if you sign them up and get their check, does that mean that they're really in? Does that mean that they're going to be successful? Does that mean they're going to do it? Of course not. See, I don't want their check. I want them to earn checks. So you cannot hold a meeting without having a second date open for a follow-up, because the whole key to this is booking the follow-up to get them to lead to some other people. Golden rule number seven, anyone that we show the plan to, we bring them to the second look. We don't invite them to the second look. We bring them to the second look. That's your responsibility. In fact, when I say that we should bring two people to every second look, a lot of people don't understand how that's going to happen, because they couldn't be possibly sponsoring two people and bringing them to every second look. But you see, I still expect you to bring two people to every second look, because if you're doing meetings and follow-up meetings, there's several prospects there. And the person that you're holding the meeting for, or the person that you're sponsoring, may bring two, and you may bring two of their people. Rule number eight, teach everyone you sponsor to do the same thing with those they sponsor. And that means follow up and book meetings. Get your calendar out and book meetings by showing them what to do, when to do it, and with whom to do it. Leave nothing up to chance. You're the teacher. You're the coach. You're the maestro. You have a job to do at the end of the meeting. Don't go out and go to the bathroom, or go out and chit-chat in the hall, or go eat cake. You have a job to do walking around that room, making sure that everybody gets their schedule book out, everybody books a follow-up, everybody asks the leading questions of what did you like most about what you saw tonight, and then booking the follow-ups and filling that calendar up. Rule number nine, always have a meeting after the meeting. Understand that what most people call the meeting, which is the presentation when we show the plan, isn't really the meeting. That's the presentation. The meeting begins when the marker's put down. The actual meeting begins after the presentation, and that's when we apply what was shown in the presentation to their own personal situation, to their personal life. That's when we show them how it can happen for them, and that's when we outline how the process of getting their questions answered, getting them some more information, doing a trial run so that they can make that type of money. Rule number 10. Sell seminar tickets at every meeting. And let me tell you something, friends. You cannot sell a ticket that you do not have. You have to have the tickets in order to sell them. And I guarantee you, when you bought those tickets to sell at the meetings and they're burning a hole in your pocket, you don't forget to talk about it. But you see, a person's at the height of their interest and their curiosity at the end of that meeting. And they have a lot of questions. But after they leave the meeting, there's a downward curve of what they remember. They begin to forget immediately. In fact, two or three days later, they can hardly remember how the thing works. So that's why it's very important that we give them some information and that we sell them a ticket. 2 weeks later, when the seminar's on and it's Saturday and it's a nice day out and the ball game's on and a couple people rained on their parade, or Aunt Tilly told them, oh, it looks like one of those multi-level things or something, hey, they don't go to the meeting. But if they have that ticket, the probability of them going to that meeting is much higher. And why should I run all over the countryside trying to do a trial run and get the business off the ground with them when what I'm setting in motion is going to carry in motion and result in failure? And that's the fact that they're not going to get the proper attitude and knowledge, and neither are their people, because they're not coming to the seminar. Critically important. So I'm not going to let them leave that meeting without selling them a ticket. And a little later, I'll show you exactly what I say. So let's review again the recruiting, sponsoring process. Now that we have that bean jar full, now that we have the funnel full and we're developing possibilities, we have a top 10 list and people are becoming interested. So now you have somebody to call to show the plan to get them to evaluate. And we can use video recruiting, we can do one-on-ones, or we can do two-on-ones. The key thing is in the presentation of the plan. And the most important thing is that they choose a 2-year plan over the 45-year plan. And if they do that, the rest of the plan is just explaining how we get there, and they're not really going to understand that totally yet anyway. They're going to have to see it again. So there's no decisions to make at the end of the meeting. If they chose a 2 to 3 year plan, it's just really a question of whether it'll work for them and whether they're the right person for us to work with. And we're going to get that answer through the trial run. Now, in doing a trial run then, which is the next step, I am going to adjust the trial run selection dial to their level of interest and comfort. And so I will decide based on how they're responding and how enthusiastic they are which method to use, because my only objective is to get them to lead me to the right people. So on the left side, there's referrals. We may go see some people together as another alternative. I may use videos and let them do some video recruiting, or lead the parade recruiting and then go watch TV with people with the video. Or we may have a few acquaintances casually around the kitchen table, or we could even have a little living room meeting. And the best of all is a kickoff meeting. But probably one of those other things will happen: referrals, going and seeing people, video recruiting, kitchen table presentation, or a little living room meeting before we actually get in to kickoff. So every once in a while, you find somebody that's ready to go right now. But if you try to make somebody do that before they're ready to do it, and you don't have people to do kickoffs with, how do you find the people to do the kickoffs with? Well, we have to get out there in the trenches a little bit, don't we? We have to beat the bushes and get them to lead to the people. So now, through this process of doing the trial run, they lead to the go-nows. And those people that are interested, we're going to set up trial runs with them too, but we're going to bring them to the second look meeting. And that's what convinces them. That's what creates credibility so that they're ready to have a trial run and go now. And then that leads us right into the ABC pattern, and that's the next step. We'll start the ABC pattern, which will make the business work. The key point to understand here is I'm not so concerned whether they actually do it or not. We're testing them to see if they're going to be cooperative and coachable. And if they are, through the trial run method and the ABC pattern, they will end up succeeding. But what I'm focused on is them leading me to the right people. I know that not everybody's ready for this. Not everybody's right for this. Timing isn't right for everybody to go now. Some people will just be stable or waiting. But everybody knows 2 executive coordinators right now. They know entrepreneurs. They know networkers or MLMers. They know people in direct selling. They know well-connected people. They know ambitious people. And my whole objective is to get them to lead me to those people. Now, think about it. Is it easier to find the right people through people who have seen the plan and have some interest, or is it easier to go out and find them on the street cold? I think the answer is self-evident. So what I'm really doing is investigating, okay? It's the process of investigating. Let them lead you to the people. They'll accidentally get interested when they lead you to someone because it's already working, you see? Then my close is simple. I ask them, who's going to sponsor them, you or me? You see, so there is no decision to make because the decision's already made because I make it work. And as a result of it working, naturally they want to get in. But too many people focus on trying to make them make a decision on whether they want to do it. They try to make them commit before they understand it, before they're comfortable. And they get in this tug of war over making a decision and writing a check and signing up. To me, that's secondary. What I want is their dreams. I want their friendship. I want a relationship. I want their commitment to this as a career. That's what I focus on. So it all is in the way you think. The way you need to think is that you're not trying to get them in. You just want them to evaluate it because they may know the right people. And you have the connections. and you're trying to identify the right people. And everyone knows one or two people who would do Market America right now, or they know someone in MLM, direct sales, or network marketing. So these people become conduits or pathways or doorways or windows to the right people. And we do this by going into the trial run where we're going to test market the business. And we're going to use the evaluation approach. I'm not going to ask them to get people in. I'm going to talk in terms of having some people together. Let me run it up the flagpole to see if they salute it so that we can see if this will work for them and if they're coachable and the right person for us. Now, we have it down to science, and if they're coachable, the probability is that they're going to be very, very successful. But we don't want them to show the plan because they'll mess it up. I'll show the plan, but what they're going to tell people is that they have the connections and they just want them to evaluate it because they may know the right people. They have the opportunity to identify a couple people to help manage the growth in the area, in which case, if they do find them, it can mean a substantial amount of money to the person that they bring on board and to them. So, using that evaluation approach, we're going to show the program to some of their friends, either by going over to their house or them giving me referrals or having a little kitchen table presentation or a little meeting in their home or eventually a kickoff. And hallelujah if they want to do a kickoff right from the get-go. Every once in a while, you're going to find somebody that's red hot and rolling that says, get out of my way, I'm going to tear this thing up. But we show the program, and then we determine if their contacts know the right people. And at the same time, we test market the products. We're introducing the products, which will result in getting customers, if nothing else. So the trial run really is a test marketing program for 30 to 90 days. And we get them to lead to the right people, and also, simultaneously, they lead to some customers. Some people want to buy the products. So that eliminates the concern of how the product's going to sell or how do I sell this stuff, because before they're even in, people are already buying it. And so the trial run ultimately accomplishes two very, very important things. One, it determines if they're coachable and right for the business. And two, it determines if the business works for them. So you see, there's no issues. There's no issue for you, and there's no issue for them. It's a win-win situation. And this is why I always joke that I have 100% sponsoring ratio, because everybody that I show the plan to is just coming over to see what they're going to get in. But even then, I don't really let them in. We test market it, and only the people that are coachable and cooperative that it's already working for do I actually sponsor or get in. So you see, the trial run really is a tryout, and there really is no decisions. It's just a matter of trying it. As a result of the trial run, it works, and in the process, they become a hopeless success because I have this thing down to science. And if you follow the technique, ultimately, they're going to become an executive coordinator or lead to some executive coordinators. Now, I do have some minimum requirements for trial runs. I don't try to talk somebody into it. And after the meeting, after the presentation, when I'm sitting down with them, I have a basic fundamental checklist of things that have to happen in order for me to proceed into the trial run. So you see, I never get out of the starting gate unless I know it's already going to work anyway because they're cooperating. And the first thing is we have to book some meetings. We have to book some times to go see some people or to have a little meeting at their house. Or sometimes they just need me to review it again, which I don't mind doing. Or they may give me some referrals, and then we're going to get on a three-way call, and I'll go see them if need be, because I want them to lead me to the people. But I'm trying to push that rheostat or that dial as far to the right towards a home kickoff as I can. But ultimately, I'm not going to take the next step unless they'll give me some dates and book some meetings. And then I'm going to sell them a seminar ticket. In a few minutes, I'll explain exactly what I say. But if I don't get them the first night, I'll get them the second night, or I'll get them at the second look that I'm going to bring them to. But ultimately, before we really get going with the trial run, they're going to be committed to going to a seminar because I want to instill the right attitude and the knowledge and the belief right from the beginning. And I'm not going to set in motion something that will carry emotion and result in failure. And also, I'm not willing to run all over the countryside for something that's not going to succeed. And then their sponsor takes them to the second look. If I'm personally showing them the plan and sponsoring them, I would take them to the second look. Now, that doesn't mean that I invite them to the second look. I arrange to pick them up and bring them there so they don't have to walk into a room full of strangers, so they don't have to find their way, so that it's a no-brainer, and I can introduce them to people. And then another requirement is that we have to use the evaluation technique on a names list. We make a list of initial people. I give them the answer to what is it. I don't actually give it to them. I work on want an answer to what is it with them, and we get it down on a note card, and I teach them the evaluation approach. In other words, I'm going to teach them some fundamental skills and some fundamental things to say and give them a crib sheet with that answer to what is it and that evaluation technique so that they're successful. And then we go through the first chapter of the Getting Started Guide and Action Plan for Success. And we either do a goal statement that first session or the second session. But I talk about some of the things that they want because I'm going to translate their goals into the business, either that meeting or the next meeting, as I explained in the goal setting section. And then I always leave an information pack and a Getting Started tape and video. Now, if you don't have information packs, hey, you're doomed to start with, because my whole close is that there's no decision to make. They got to get more information, and we'll get their questions answered, and then we need to test market it. So how are you going to do that if you don't have any information to give them? So when we start the trial run process, it all comes down to the evaluation technique. And you need to know the evaluation technique in order to do the ABC pattern. You need to be able to teach it to people and use it to work the ABC pattern. And believe me, it's the most effective method, because people are a little bit hesitant to contact friends and acquaintances and the real good people that have some credibility when they feel like they might be imposing on their friendship or their relationship or being pushy. So this eliminates all that, and they come in the back door rather than the front door. And we're going to use this evaluation method by doing two-on-ones, by getting people to look at it two-on-ones. We can do it over a three-way call. We can use it to do video recruiting. We can do it using it with the one-to-one presentation book, a meeting in their home, bringing people to second looks, or a kitchen table presentation. Think about it. By them using the evaluation technique, they're going to get more people to evaluate it because they may know the right people using all of these various formats or techniques. It doesn't matter if it's a two-on-one or a kitchen table presentation or a kickoff. When they start, they don't really have a good answer to what is it, so this is very, very effective. And then if the person asks too many questions, okay, we're going to give them the Lead the Parade tape. And we've already been over the evaluation technique in the prospecting and recruiting section. And so the only thing that can happen once they do that, if a person is with them or a person knows them real well and starts asking too many questions, they explain that they're brand new and that they just have the connections. And they can't really explain it that effectively, but they have a 28-minute tape that'll give them a snapshot and an overview, and you'd like to give them the tape. So they give them the Lead the Parade tape to cut the questions off, not to be evasive, and to give the person the information that they're asking for without getting into a 20-question routine. And so now that we have some people that are coming to the trial run meetings, we're going to begin the ABC pattern and follow-up technique to build depth. And it all begins after the presentation. Every time we do a presentation, we have a meeting after the presentation. In other words, after we show the plan, the meeting begins. We call it the meeting after the meeting, and this is where it all happens. So at the end of the meeting, we begin the meeting, actually. And I open up my schedule book or take out my calendar and put it in front of them, and I ask them, what did you like most about what you saw tonight? And whatever it is, I'm going to expand on some, and then I'm going to talk in terms of getting back together, either to run this up the flagpole in front of some people and begin a trial run, or to show them how to do a trial run. But my emphasis at the end of the meeting is that there's really no decision to make, and I fundamentally tell them not to worry about it. You see, at that point, they have chosen the 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan, so I can assume that they want to do this, and my only objective is following up with them to get their questions answered, to go over the information with them, and to begin showing it to some other people to test market it. If they're not quite ready to do that, I'm going to show them how to do the trial run. But be very clear about the fact that I am not focused on getting them to make a decision at the end of the meeting. They made their decision at the beginning when they chose a 2 to 3 year plan. So I can use an assumptive close at the end and assume that they want to do this. And so when I end the meeting, I say, listen, don't worry about understanding all this tonight. My God, if you understood the whole thing, God bless you. You're the smartest people in the world. I didn't understand it all the first night. There's an awful lot here. There's all types of figures and diagrams and terms and numbers. It can be mind-boggling. But you know what? That's not what's really important right now. The important thing is that you chose the 2 to 3 year plan over the 45-year plan. And I know that there's questions in your mind, but we'll get those answered. But think about your last job. When you took your last job, you didn't know everything you were going to have to do a year down the road or 6 months down the road or 2 years down the road. But you knew a couple things. You knew that you wanted the job, and you knew if they paid you, by golly, you would learn. So you learned most everything on the job. And the same thing will happen here. But look, the big question in your mind is, will this work for you? And if you knew you were going to make $2,100 a week, there really wouldn't be much to think about. And the big question in my mind, are you the right person? And I think I have a way that we can both get the answer pretty quickly. And then I explain the trial run. Now, I'll go into this in a moment. My point is that my focus is not trying to get them to decide, but to get them to try it. Because trying it is what makes it work, and trying it is what leads me to the people that are going to do it. And you see, when they lead to the people that are also going to have trial runs and do it, it's already working, so there's nothing to decide. And I simply turn to them and ask them, who's going to sponsor these people, you or me? But most people lose them in a struggle over a decision, you see? And they don't understand it well enough to make a decision. And most people have been programmed their whole life to procrastinate or forestall making a decision. And what are they going to decide anyway? You know, I love when a person says, well, listen, I got to think about it. I say, wonderful. And I throw a pad of paper out in front of them. I say, draw it back to me. I say, what do you mean draw it back to me? I said, draw the plan back to me. I say, I can't remember it. I don't know. I can't draw it back to you. I can't remember it. I say, that's right. How are you going to think about something that you can't remember? You see, what we need to do is get back together again. I'm going to give you more information. We'll get your questions answered, and I'll show you how we can test market this to make it work for you. So in starting the follow-up process, it begins with the meeting after the meeting. And you've wasted your time and effort if you don't follow up with all the prospects. The real meeting comes after the presentation is shown. You don't want to be going to the bathroom or going out to get coffee or chit-chatting or gossiping. And after the presentation, you say, what did you like most about the presentation? Or maybe, can you see this as a way that you can achieve your goal or your dream, whatever it is? Or do a couple of people come to mind who would benefit from this business? And listen very carefully to what they say, and then you'll be able to determine your method of follow-up. So in scheduling the follow-up appointment, the schedule book or appointment book is out in front of me and is the center of focus. Now, if they're ready to go, if their response is extremely positive and they want to tear it up, I'm going to set up a get started meeting to fill out the paperwork. But quite often, I won't do that until I've held a couple meetings for them and I have 2, 3, 4, or 5 people that are doing trial runs that are all interested and I can do it all at once. But some people want to get going right out of the box, and that's fantastic. But I tell them there's no people in the kit and this doesn't really mean anything. We're going to go through the paperwork, but the important thing is that you're coachable and you follow this blueprint for success. If you don't, it's not going to work anyway. So don't think that signing up means that you now have a business and you're done. We have to build this business together. And I'm going to bring them to a second look meeting. I'm going to make an appointment to pick them up and bring them to a second look meeting. I'm going to try to do some three-way calls with them. That's one of the most effective ways of teaching them how to do the answer to what is it. So if they have some pretty good prospects that they're excited about but they don't know how to talk to, I may do some three-way calls. And I'm really doing it for me because remember something. If they lead me to the right person, it's the same as me personally sponsoring the person. So why not call those people for them? And they learn at the same time. I'm going to set up a meeting or a telephone call to answer their questions. I'm going to get them to try some product. And if they're not sure, we're automatically going to be going into the trial run anyway. Even if they're ready to go, and I'm starting the ABC pattern. They may not know this, but it's really still a trial run because if they don't cooperate, they're not going to make the team. So you want to make sure that you always provide both product and business literature for them to review at the meeting after the meeting. Always get them to try the product. A lot of people will be turned more on by the product than they will the plan, and there's something for everybody. There's a hot button there. And if nothing else, you'll end up with a good, loyal, preferred customer. So follow this process through to their decision. And if your prospect is still not interested, don't take it personally. Don't waste any time with them. They didn't make the team. They weren't ready. They weren't cut out for it. And understand that they're really not rejecting you. But if you want to consider it rejection, rejection's a big part of the business. But I can't help it if everybody's not smart enough to do this or is not ready to do this. The point is, if you find 2 to 4 people that are, it doesn't matter if you found 100 that didn't. you're making six figures, you see? So the more no's you get, the closer you are to yes. Once I heard a fairly successful distributor say, I set a goal to try to get 100 no's, and I've never been able to make it. I've never succeeded, because in the process, I get the yeses that make the business work. But the motto or the slogan is, some will, some won't, so what, next. Because when you find the person that does, none of that matters. So let's go over an after-the-meeting checklist, because what I do in that meeting after the meeting is very important. Everything that I say and everything that I do is being done and said for a reason. And this is a checklist of things that I always do. I always book meetings. I always book a time to get back together. Sometimes I'll book two or three meetings right out of the start gate. But I book either a meeting to go back over things with them, answer their questions, show them how to do a trial run, or I book a meeting to get a few people together to run it up the flagpole, to go see some people with them. I sell them seminar tickets. And if I don't get them the first time, I'm going to get them the second or third time. But I'm not going to proceed with the ABC pattern and running all over town building an organization for them if they're not even going to get the seminar ticket. I always make sure that I take them to the second look, or if I'm doing the meeting for somebody else, the person who's going to be sponsoring them takes them to the second look. I teach them the evaluation technique. And these are steps that I take every single time, okay? Book meetings, sell seminar tickets, take them to the second look, teach them the evaluation technique, make a preliminary names list, give them a good answer to what is it, along with the evaluation technique, and go over the action plan and goal statement part of the Getting Started guide. And I leave them an information pack, a Getting Started tape, and a video, and some other materials. And then I'm going to book the meetings with a meeting in their home. Now, critical point here. I can't tell you how many times I go to start working with someone who wants my help. And we get some people together. And at the end of the meeting, I'm going through the follow-up routine to book the meetings. And they don't have any information packs. Well, they set themselves up to fail right from the beginning. Because my whole focus and my whole technique is that there's really no decision to make. What you need is some more information and get your questions answered. And then we need to do a trial run. We need to test market it to see if this will work for you and to see if you're the right person for us. So how are you going to do that without information packs? Everybody should have 5 information packs at the minimum put together in their trunk, and it should include at least the Getting Started guide and action plan, corporate brochure or flip chart, the product literature, an application, an annual report maybe, that's really optional, and a mall talk and a Getting Started tape, and probably one other tape. Okay, but you need at least that. You might want to include another tape by Making Dreams Come True or the Dash or something that states our mission. If they haven't heard the Lead the Parade tape yet, I'm always going to give them that because that's going to be a tool for them to give to somebody. And I like them to get the CD-ROM or video of the plan. Maybe I'll give that to them the second time. And I find out what products that they like and let them try some products. Now, what do I do when someone doesn't have the packets or I'm starting with my own personal person and naturally they don't have the information packets yet? Well, when they have 2 people there, I go ahead and give those people the information packets. And after the meeting then, I explain to the person that I'm doing the meeting for that, listen, I gave them those information packs. I'm going to put them on your order. If they get in, they're going to pay you for them, and I'll help you handle that. If they don't get in, they're going to give them back, and we'll use them again on your next 2 people. You see, and that way, what I set in motion carries in motion, and everybody's taking responsibility for their packets, and free has no value. And understand how important that packet is. It's a natural bridge to booking the follow-up. Because we gave them the packet of information, naturally, I have to get it back. So now it's very easy to talk about getting back together, to go over and answer their questions, and to show them how to do a trial run, and I got to get it back, which would be better for you. I can stop by Wednesday or Thursday. And if for some reason they cancel the meeting, I still have to get it back, and I still have to go see them, and it gives me an opportunity to revisit them and resell them. So the focal point of the meeting after the meeting is the schedule book. I have that schedule book or day timer or calendar out in front of them, and I go around the room and make sure each person that I'm working with that's already in the business that has prospects there have their day timer, calendar, or schedule book out. And the objective is to book follow-ups and meetings. Now, that includes just getting back together with the prospect to answer their questions and to show them how to do a trial run and then book a meeting. Sometimes that works very well because you end up booking a kickoff right out of the starting gate by getting back together with them and making them feel more comfortable about the process and making a prospect list with them and going over the action plan to success and getting started guide. It also includes going to see people that they refer, because remember, I just want them to lead me to people. It includes two-on-ones, includes kitchen table presentations, it includes house meetings, and of course, the ultimate meeting, kickoffs. Now, the more meetings, the better. So as we work from house to house, we're booking meetings for the people that are in attendance on the next level in depth. And it should be a passion to book as many meetings as possible. You don't leave that house without appointments in your calendar. An empty calendar means you're unemployed. A full calendar means you're growing and you're succeeding and you're going to be hitting checks. You're going to be making money. That's the bottom line. So let's review the fundamentals of follow-up and the ABC pattern, because it's this follow-up technique in the meeting after the meeting that sets the stage to work from level A to level B to level C in the ABC pattern, and it automatically duplicates the basic five with each new unfranchised owner or distributor that we're doing a trial run with or we're getting started with. First of all, success equals booking follow-ups. We always book a follow-up. And remember, the difference between success and failure is simple. The individual who succeeds simply did what the individual failed didn't do. So you're either booking the follow-up or you're not booking the follow-up. The meeting begins after the presentation. We call it the meeting after the meeting, and the meeting begins after the plan is shown. And when we end the presentation, we ask leading questions. What did you like most? How do you feel about the opportunity? Let's get together to answer your questions. And we never, never, never ask, what do you think? And then we use a tie down, choice between what you want and what you want. Which day would be better for you, Thursday or Friday? Or I have next Wednesday afternoon open and Saturday morning. Which would be better for you? And we have our appointment book out. We open it and we fill it with meetings and we walk around and make sure that our people are doing the same thing. And we always have the materials there so that they can get more information. And that creates a natural bridge to being able to book the follow-up, because if nothing else, you got to get the materials back. So I have packets, tapes, kits, and products there at the meeting. If the people that I'm working with don't have them, I have them in my car. Then I explain to them that I'm going to put that on their order. And when those people get in, they'll pay them for them. If they don't get in, we'll get it back and use it again at the next meeting. And I always then set up the trial run. We get them to test market the business. We run it up the flagpole to see who will salute it. And we use the evaluation approach and video recruiting whenever it's appropriate to get them to show it to some people, to get them to put me in front of some people, to show it to some people, and get them to try some products. And this is like a tryout, and in the process, the business works, and I find out if they're cooperative or coachable. And then the close is simple. Because we have people that are getting in when people buying the product, I simply ask them, who's going to sponsor these people, you or me? Buying the kit or signing up is not an issue. They're going to sign up. So let's take a look at an overview of how the ABC pattern works. If I'm working with you, okay, I am then going to go with you to your people's house, and you're going to be learning the business and helping me follow up. You're going to be learning the plan and helping me follow up. Then we go from your people's house to their people's houses, and you come with me. So that's on the C level. And at each step of the way, you'll be learning and taking on more responsibility, or the person that you sponsored will be learning and taking on more responsibility to help follow up and to help book meetings and eventually helping show the plan. By the C level, you can help show the plan. You've moved up another notch. You're helping me sell tickets. You're helping me bring people to the second looks. And you're getting ready to actually take over and be the team leader. So we work from house to house with everybody coming with us as a team at each subsequent level. Then every time we hold a meeting for somebody and set up trial runs in the next house, there's a simple close. It's the best close. It's the only close that I use. I turn to them and say, who's going to sponsor these people, me or you? Or if I was working with Joe, hey, who's going to sponsor these people, you or Joe? If I'm working in depth, you know, with them. And it's just that simple. You see, there's really no decision to make. The decision's been made for them because the business is working. And the thing that people do wrong is at the end of the meeting, instead of just making the business work and then having some people that are interested and asking them who's going to sponsor them, you or me, people struggle and wrestle over making a decision when they're not ready to make a decision. They made a decision in the beginning by choosing the 2 to 3 year plan. Now it's just a question of whether it'll work for them and if they're right for us. And by moving forward in the ABC pattern, doing trial runs, the question's automatically answered. And they're asking to get the kit and the products and the materials. Now, by using the Getting Started Guide and Action Plan for Success, you're able to keep everybody on track. It's an amazing tool. It's like a blueprint for success, a track to run on, a recipe book, a checklist so that nothing falls through the cracks. And it creates perfect duplication. Because at each meeting, I'm going over another section with the person that I'm working with. Then when we move on to the next level in the level of houses on the B level or the C level, I'm teaching them to go over the previous sections that I already went over with them with their people. So as we move from meeting to meeting, I'm going over another section with them and the Getting Started Guide and Action Plan, and they're being taught to go over the previous sections with their people, and that's how they really learn it, and that's how we create perfect duplication. That's code number 391, $5 for 10, and everybody should have a packet of these with them in their car and at the meetings. Now, don't misinterpret this. I don't do meetings just to do meetings when people aren't going to be cooperative. I won't begin the process if someone proves that they're not coachable, who won't lead the people, prospects, customers, or prospects. In other words, the whole objective of this is to put me in front of some people. And if they don't cooperate or they refuse to succeed, they eliminate themselves. They cut themselves, but usually they've led to somebody else. So once we've set up a trial run or a kickoff, we're going to begin using the ABC pattern and follow-up of building depth to duplicate the business perfectly. And this is how duplication actually happens. And I don't leave anything up to chance. One thing that you really want to focus on as I go through this process, that is that I'm controlling everything. I'm not leaving anything up to chance. And by doing the ABC pattern, I'm on a mission to activate each person that we're working with and then activate their people and then activate their people's people as I work from level A to level B to level C. And everybody that I've already done a meeting for that we booked meetings below them are coming with us to help in the process. So in this example, if I was working with you, I already know that at each level, you're going to be coming with me, and the people that we hold meetings for will be coming with me and you to the next subsequent meeting. And if you look at the diagram, as we move from level A to B to C, originally you have your sponsor, your upline, your executive coordinator, or upline executive with you, helping you build the business and do the meetings. But as we work from level A to B to C, you move up a notch in your responsibility as we do the meeting and as we follow up at each subsequent meeting until the C level, you are the team leader. And when we get down to the A1 level, you'll be showing the plan, but you have your team with you. So let's walk through the ABC pattern. Suppose that I was sponsoring you, and then we were going to do a meeting for your people on the A level. Here's what I say. When I put the marker down, the meeting after the meeting begins, and understand that the close of the meeting is an assumptive close based on the fact that I closed you before showing the plan by you choosing the 2 to 3 year plan over the 45 year plan. So each time you have shown the plan, at the end of the plan, the person already said that they wanted the 2 to 3 year plan. And so if you don't present the 2 to 3 year plan versus the 45 year plan correctly and ask the necessary questions, you can't effectively use the close. And my whole close is to eliminate making any decisions, because that's where people get stuck or they get stalled. They already decided that they want the 2 to 3 year plan. The only thing left to do is to try it out with my help and to lead to the right people, in which case it's already working and therefore there's really no decision to make. Now, every time I do a meeting, when I do it with you, then when I do it for the people that you introduce me to on the A level, and then the people on the B level, and the people on the C level, everybody's coming with me from those subsequent meetings, but I say exactly the same thing every time. And here's the key points, or a summary outline of the closing. As soon as I put the marker down, they're worrying about understanding everything. They're worrying that I'm going to try to make them make a decision. There's still a little apprehension there, or they may be even excited, okay, but they don't understand everything. So I start out by saying, don't worry about understanding everything. There's too much to grasp here in one night. And secondly, I point to the fact that you chose a 2 to 3 year plan, and the only important thing is, and the only decision that you have to make is that you want the 2 to 3 year plan, and that it's not a big decision. Don't make more of it than it is. It's not a $20,000 decision where you're buying a piece of real estate and got to write a check and you need to know everything and have market comparables and everything. It's not like buying a computer where you need to know the RAM, the ROM, the megahertz, and it's a $2,000 decision. And if you don't know the right stuff, you might be incompatible and wasted your money. And it's not even a $200 decision. Most people have, if they're honest, would admit that they've wasted $200 before and they didn't have to make a decision about that. So it's not about money. And the fourth point is they didn't know everything that they had to do on their last job 6 months going forward or a year going forward. Okay. And the same's true here. They knew a couple things, though, that they wanted the job and that if someone paid them, they'd learn how to do it. And we'll learn on the job here. And then I point that there's three guarantees. If you don't look, you won't find anything. If you don't try anything, nothing will ever change. And if you can't do this one, I assure you that you can't do really any other program. But I can save, and the sixth point is that I can save a lot of time. I can tell you what we're both thinking or want to know. You want to know, is it for real? And I could answer all your questions, but you still have another question. Will it work for me? And that's the real question. But I have a way to get the answer whether it will work for you. But then I point out that also the person who invited you has a question, or I have a question, and that is, are you the right person? And you could talk for the rest of the night and tell us how great you are. But we have a way of finding this out. Now, what I'm going to recommend is we do the same thing that a Fortune 500 company would do or a successful entrepreneur. Get more information, and then if the information stacks up and it looks like a good program, we'll do a test market or a trial run. So really what it comes down to, and this is the seventh point, is it comes down to trying it. The eighth point is, if you don't get more information or try it, you already chose the 45-year plan. And then the ninth point is how a trial run actually works over the next 30 to 90 days. We get some people to evaluate it to see if they know the right people. We're not going to try to get them in or impose on your relationship. We just want their help because we know everybody knows two people who would be ready to do this that are doing something already. And we'll show it for you. Don't you show it. We'll show it for you, but you'll get credit for those people. And at the end of 90 days, if 2 to 4 people want in or lead to the right people who want to do it and people are clamoring to buy products, it works. There's really nothing to decide. There's no decision. We'd be nuts not to take you on, and you'd be nuts not to get in. And the 10th point is we do a tie down. We have a choice of 2 dates for a follow-up meeting or a trial run at their location. And then the 11th point is I explain and sell seminar tickets and why it's critical that they be there. I can't turn over the business to them unless they know how to answer people's questions, unless they know how to run it. So what good is it to do all of this if they're not in position to run the business and they need to go to a seminar? And then the 12th point is that I arrange to take them to a second look and pick them up and bring them so that they're comfortable inviting people to meetings because they can see that the quality of people that are involved in this is a professional presentation and operation, and they can see a full product display, and they'll be proud to introduce people to this program.
This concludes this portion of the program. To continue, please insert the next CD.